Welcome to Two Moms with Two Dead Kids, a conversation about what it's like after your child dies from a drug overdose.
Here's a warning. Conversations may contain triggering material, dark and irreverent humor, and possible cursing.
Yes. Those are all true things that will probably occur.
Yeah.
On this podcast.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Okay. Well, should we introduce ourselves and then maybe talk about how our kids died?
I think that's a good idea. So I'm Deanne, and my son was Nicholas, and he was 21 when he died, and he died in 2016.
And I am Astrid, and I am mother to Garrett, who died when he was 17. And he died March 18th, 2019.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
I know. It'll be 8 years this July for me, which seems unreal. It seems like yesterday.
Yeah. And I'm actually wondering if I got the date of my kid's death wrong.
Well,
isn't that weird?
It's so weird. I didn't even say the date. So I know it was July 28th.
I know it's March 18th, and it's been 3 years. So it's 2024, 2023, 22, 21. And I think that's actually a really common thing, is for your sense of time
totally
get distorted, where you lose all sense of when something happened, how long ago it was.
Right. And then I feel like a bad mom because people ask me questions and I'm like, is my memory even correct? You know, it's because after that first year, I mean, I don't even remember the first year. I really don't. I wandered around like in a fog, just trying to look normal and shower and brush my teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really, you know, I have lost a lot of my sense of like when something happened. So I can remember that happened before he died.
Yeah. It's always before Nicholas died and after Nicholas died.
Yeah. But things like the year that he died, for me, I don't carry that year in my head. Yeah. You know, I know he died in spring. I know he died 5 days before his 18th birthday.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know why, but it's so crushing. I mean, I don't know why that's such a mile marker.
Well, it is for everybody. Everybody. It's like, oh, they graduated, you know.
Yeah. You know, and, but as to what year, it's like, it's in a way, it's kind of like, what does it matter?
It doesn't matter. I guess the thing that I'm freaking out about is that I met this guy in the airport and we ended up talking about it, and he had lost a child, and it was I don't even think it was a year for Nicholas. And he started crying and I was crying, and I said, how long ago was it? And he said 11 years, which just gutted me, because I thought, if he's crying at 11 years and I'm like 1 year, I was like, this does not get better. I mean, it doesn't get better. I mean, it gets different. But, and now I'm terrified, and I think I've told you this before, I'm afraid that he's going to be gone longer than he was on this earth.
Yeah.
And that, for some reason, is so disturbing to me. And I just, in my mind, go, well, I won't be here for that. But that's only 12 years away. I mean,
I know, it is weird. It is weird when we think about things in that kind of timeline of you know, the amount of time he was alive, and then as the years stick up, you know, add up that after they died, you know, it's weird that the things that we get hung up on.
I know. And then I get like, everybody's going to forget him, you know, and then that just goes into a whole nother deal of like, oh, I haven't done enough to preserve his memory and do things, but that is a whole nother thing in itself, you know.
Yeah.
So it's very layered.
It is really layered. And I remember right after Garrett died, I went on the internet trying to look for something that I could connect to.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I fell into these like internet holes mm-hmm. where it was all, just like you said, it was all these people who were all saying, like, no matter how long ago it happened,
right.
it was as if it had happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking to myself, am I like doomed to mm-hmm. feel like this, you know, for the rest of my life? Is this what it's going to be like for the rest of my life, that
right.
you're constantly stuck in that place of the right after death place where
right.
it was literally horrifying. It was literally horrifying. I yes. was horrified. I was like, there's got to be something else. There has to be something else.
Right.
You know, it can't be like this, you know, for the rest of my life. And I guess I would say for myself, it isn't like that, but it also is, you know, there's a sense of like freshness to it every now and then, but also as time passes, I feel like I'm able to put other pieces of myself back together at the same time. I'm not right. sure like where I'm going with that.
Yeah. No, it's very true. It's such a, I don't know. My brain was so chaotic, like after he died, like I couldn't even like plan a grocery list hardly, or plan yes. a meal. So yeah, I think trying to even think long term is terrifying, because I couldn't even figure out how to do my day, you know?
Yes.
It's yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's good to know. Cause after, I mean, and what you're saying, you're going down this hole on the internet, but you're trying to find support. You're trying to find some information. Just what does this look like? And I think that's why we're doing this podcast, you know, is if I had found two people, two moms talking about their children dying of a drug overdose, I would have been, okay, there's more people out there. Cause I felt very isolated and I felt shame.
Yeah.
With his death. So, and that's very common, I think, with
yeah.
overdoses. It's not like he, you know, died of cancer or got hit by a drunk driver.
Yeah.
So, which you get a lot of support with that, whereas with what we're dealing with is people are, could be, oh, well, your child put that in their body, so they kind of deserved it.
Yeah, I think there's just the potential for so much judgment.
Yeah.
And and from ourselves as well. Oh,
absolutely. I'm my worst. I mean, I will beat the hell out of myself for everything.
Yes.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. But I you know, I actually really think it's important to say that even though that guy at the airport was crying and it was 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder if he was like that every single day, because sometimes I think it's okay to be that person, to let yourself do that, especially with another person.
Yes.
Who
be vulnerable.
Knows what it is, mm-hmm. who knows what it's like.
Yeah.
But I think if after 11 years you are in that same place that you were right after it happened,
mm-hmm.
I really feel like then you haven't gotten whatever it is that
right.
you need
support
to help you heal.
Yes, I totally agree.
And, you know?
And I did super intense grief therapy for a good year. I found the therapist about 3 months after he died, and she said that was pretty standard, that people can't even really start looking for help until a few months in.
Yeah, sometimes at the very beginning, you're just in such a state of shock. It's like,
right.
It doesn't even, a lot of things don't even occur to you.
Right.
Because you're just in the process of absorbing what
right.
just happened.
Right.
It takes yeah. a while to like be like, maybe I... maybe I need a little help, you know?
Maybe there's a professional out there that could maybe give me some insight.
Yes.
Yeah. And just to, you know, help acknowledge what you're feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I actually can't stress enough. If you can find the right guide for you,
mm-hmm.
they are, at least for me, it has been invaluable.
Right. Life-saving.
Truly.
It was life-saving for me.
Truly. Because if you are left just on your own, only in your own mind.
Oh, my God.
You know?
That's an ugly place to be in my head.
Yeah. And if you're just stuck there and you don't have anyone to, like, you know, grab your hand
mm-hmm.
and provide you some kind of guidance, I can't imagine. I don't think I would be where I am today.
Oh, I know I wouldn't.
Yeah.
It was touch and go there for a bit. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
It was bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, and I'm sure, you know, even if you don't have any kind of guide or counselor, you know, I don't think you stop processing it, but I feel like you can get really stuck.
I agree.
You know, in a place that you don't want to stay.
Right. Well, and I think a lot of people, I've talked to some people, and they have to go back to work immediately.
Yeah,
immediately.
Yeah.
And so then you really, or I would think, because I didn't have to go back to work immediately, you have to compartmentalize it and then pretend like it didn't happen. Like, that's how I would have to think. Like, you'd have to put it in its place, go to work so you're not crying. I mean, I can't even imagine. Some jobs require a level of attention that you really got to be on, and you can't be talking about your dead kid, you know, at work. You know, I don't even know what that looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know, because I did take time off, but, and then even going back, I went back gradually.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so hard. Like, the first day I went back to work, for like 10 minutes.
Right. You're like, oh, hello. Let's just try this. Let's just pull into the parking lot.
Yeah. It was like that. Right. I kind of walked in. And I looked in, I stopped by someone's office and they looked at me, and yeah, I don't know if they looked at me in sympathy or empathy or
just like, you're crazy. I can't even
remember, but I remember that first contact with someone that I worked with, and I'm like, I am so unprepared for this. And I just packed my things and I left again. And then I think I came back the next week and I stay for like, maybe I did a few half days
right.
before kind of building up again. But it was really a process of kind of rebuilding those walls so
right.
that you could do whatever it was that needed
that
to be
you had
done
to do.
And
yeah.
that you weren't consumed by your, you know, yourself, your circumstances.
Right. So terrible.
I know. I can't even. You know, I can't remember where we were before we started talking about that. Why did we start talking about going back to work?
I don't know. It just happened. This is what happens when we don't have a script. We're just free flowing here.
It's so true. This is like what happens with our brains now. Because
we go down a rabbit hole.
Well, and also that, I mean, there's so many like scattered, you know, I feel like our experiences are so scattered now. There's no longer like a timeline,
right,
of everything.
Yeah.
I lost all my timelines.
Yeah.
You know,
it is weird now that you say that. That's so true.
It is. And I did go back to work, you know, and it was fine, and in a way it was good. And I've read some people who say they go back to work and it's a good place for them to be because they can put that piece of them aside for a while and take a rest from it.
Yeah, it is exhausting.
You know, and I think for some people, you know, going back to work is good, and it was good for me too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was good for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Until I guess I think I reached a place where you know, maybe I felt like, okay, I've been doing this part-time grief,
mm-hmm.
and it's like accumulating and accumulating and accumulating. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it was like, I actually need to really pay attention to this in a totally different way.
Right.
And I ended up like taking a year off of work because it had just accumulated so much. It was like this pressure bearing down on me. And it's like, I have to pay attention to it.
You've got to address it.
Yeah. And, you know, very fortunately, I was in the position where I could take a year off.
Right.
You know, and I know.
And a lot of people can't do that.
No.
And it's, I wish everybody could.
Yeah. And I guess I would, if I were in that position, imagining that I wouldn't be able to take the time that I needed because, you know, for financial reasons, I had to go to work. I would say, you know, I would only say that it's still there. You can't keep it at bay forever, and you have to find some way, you know, even schedule time to be to look in that box, because that box is always going to be there. I feel like you have to look in
it. You do. And I think you have to, because what happened with me, well, I was crying every day, but if I went, let's say I went so many, it changed over time, but let's say I went 6 hours without crying, it was almost like it would build up and I would have to cry.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and then it got to the point where, let's say I didn't cry one day, and or I had things going on and I couldn't. I mean, it literally, it was more therapeutic to cry and I would feel better. And you have to, I kind of say you have to sit and kind of marinate in the pain and just be with it. Because if you don't, it's going to always be there in that intensity. But if you keep sitting with it, I think it kind of eases up. But if you just push it down, stuff it down, I think that's where a lot of problems happen. Because it's gonna ooze into all your relationships, everything you do, your health, everything. It's everything.
Yeah. And actually, I think that we should talk about that maybe in our next episode, because I think that's a really big deal. That you actually, I feel like you have to be in the pain. You have to go through the pain.
Mm-hmm.
You have to like pick the pain up, twirl it around. Right. You know, you have to sit in it and be in it for as long as it takes.
Yes.
But you can't get stuck in it.
That's true.
Well, you know, I think that you can't. It's a weird thing. It's like
weird.
You have to do it. But I also feel like a lot of people, then they stay there. They stay right there.
And I know some people that do that.
Yeah.
They just really get stuck.
Yeah.
And it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think our time is just about up for this episode.
Okay.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to us. And I don't know if it was helpful.
Yeah.
But I think it's helpful for you and me and maybe other people just to start. It's like putting the pieces back together, because all of our worlds have exploded. Mm-hmm. And by talking about it, it's almost like you're putting the pieces back together.
I totally agree.
Of some kind of cohesive life.
Yeah. Well, I think this went well.
Yeah. All right. So we'll meet again next time.
All right.
All right. Bye.